Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give us clean hands, O God. Give us a pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Glory, hallelujah. We praise the Lord God Almighty, for he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. All honor and praise go unto him who made heavens and the earth. Glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We can't stop worshiping him, knowing what's going on in the world these days. And while we have an immediate expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about that. Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to the Lord. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. They could dial in 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Those of you that want to send an email to the church, it would be wtltabernacle@gmail.com. wtltabernacle@gmail.com. Or if you like, you could call the pastor after the show is over 8 o'clock, 772-626-3178. And we would deal with the question, comments, or testimony. Glory be to the Lord. You could also, if you have your laptop or computer, you could also go on to the chat room and leave your question there, and you will receive an answer from us. Glory be to the Lord. We've been talking about the rapture, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the second coming of Jesus Christ is divided into two phases. Phase number 1 is the rapture. Phase number 2 is the return. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And phase number 1 is in the air. Phase number 2 is on the earth. And I'll show you from scriptures. Brothers and sisters, what I want you to do is copy down the scriptures that we give you tonight. And I want you to research it for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a rhema word so you could understand and not be left behind. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. We have immediate expectation that Jesus Christ is coming for his bride, the church, the iglesia, the call out one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of God tells us in Luke 21 that we are to pray that we be found worthy to escape the wrath to come, to escape the things that are going to come on this earth. You don't have to be part of that, my brothers and sisters. You don't have to be part of the seven-year tribulation. Some people believe in the mid-tribulation rapture. Some people believe in the post-tribulation rapture. I'm of those that believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. The church is, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, we were not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we've broken it down into several subtopics. And the first one we spoke about in the rapture will cause the saints of God to be taken to heaven. Hallelujah. And number two, which was last week, in the rapture, Christ will not touch the earth at the rapture. Believers will meet him in the air. That's number two. Glory be. And today is number three. The rapture is before the seven-year tribulation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and I want you to follow along. And if you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, you could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number one to be connected to the studio. I will see your phone number, and I will see your hands going up, meaning that you like to speak to in the studio. Glory, and we will give you that audience. Glory be to the Lord. And we understand, because this is an internet radio program, it goes worldwide. At the moment time, we have over 5,200 brothers and sisters who join us in this hour that we have in learning the Bible. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The first section that we're going to read is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We're talking about the rapture. Now, some people don't believe in the rapture because they don't find that word rapture in the Bible. But if you look carefully, it's there. If you go to the Greek translation, the word that they use, harpazo, when it's translated to the English, is caught up. And that's the rapture. When you look at the Latin Vulgate, rapimo is there, the rapture. In our modern English translations, you don't see the word Trinity there. You don't see the word Bible there. But we believe that they're there. The Trinity, because we read about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible, because we know that there's 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Glory be to the Lord. All was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 first. And we're going to comment on it, then we're going to go on to show you the difference. Hallelujah. How the rapture will take place before the seven-year tribulation. So let's read on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, harpazo, rapture, great assembly, glory be to God, caught up together with them in the clouds. Where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Glory be to the Lord. And I'm going to read you another passage, which is not in the lesson, but I'm going to include it anyway. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. And it says, for God had not appointed us to the wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath is a 7-year tribulation, my brothers and sisters. There's going to come a time where the church is going to be lifted up off this earth. And there's going to be a man who's going to be revealed, son of perdition. There's going to be chaos in this world, calamities in this world, troubles in this world. And this one man will bring peace to the world through cunning words. And many people will adhere to this man, thinking, believing that he's the Messiah. Because, number one, he brought peace to the world. And number two, he agreed with the signing of the covenant that the Jewish nation will have with 7 years to rebuild the temple. And everything seems to be going well because this person, the Antichrist, will have control and many people will follow him. But in the middle of the covenant, 3.5 years, this person will desecrate the temple. Like Epiphanes at Antiochus number 4, he's going to desecrate the temple. He's going to go into the temple and sit at the throne of God as he's God. He's going to put an image in the temple, and the word of God says that he caused the great and the rich, the poor and the injured to worship this image, to take the mark of the beast, 666, upon the foreheads or upon the right wrist. And whoever was found not to worship this image will be beheaded. Will there be people being saved during the tribulation? Yes, of course they will. But there are different people compared to the bride of Christ. They're going to be invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. The bride herself, she doesn't have to invite herself. She's the bride. We are the bride, the church, the iglesia, the call out one. We're the bride of Christ. We're going to marry Jesus Christ. That's right. He gives us a picture of a marriage to show our relationship with our Lord. We become one with Christ as a husband and a wife become one. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. He loves us so much that in order for him to win us up to himself, he had to pay the ultimate price. According to the Old Testament law, there was an atonement to be paid, a shedding of blood. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He brought his body to the cross after they whipped him 39 times. They plucked his beard. They spat at him. They punched him. They hit him. They tried to humiliate him. The Roman garrison did everything that they can in their power against Jesus. They whipped him with the nine tails, cat nine tails, which has some rocks, some glass in it, and it tore his skin off. You could see the bones of the ribs, front and back, and he didn't say a murmuring word. He went through it for you and I. He shed his precious blood there. I would recommend, if you haven't seen it or read about it, something that comes real close to it is called The Passion of the Christ. It shows you that week, and it comes real close to what happened to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But Jesus Christ was obedient as a servant. He carried the beam on his shoulder. The government was upon his shoulders. There will be no end of that government, of that kingdom, because he carried it all the way up to Golgotha. And he laid on that cross, and he was nailed to the cross. And his wrists and both of his feet. And they lifted him up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So Jesus Christ shed his blood there on the cross. When it was time to take them off the cross, they would break the legs so that people would suffocate to death. And they did that to the two robbers. But when they came to Jesus, he had already given his spirit over to the Father. He said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He said it was finished. At the same time that the high priest came out of the temple and made the atonement sacrifice there for himself and for the people, he came out and he says, it is finished. Jesus Christ said it was finished. He paid the atonement for us, for you and I, my brothers and sisters. He brought peace between us and God. Because of our sin, we were separated from God. But Christ brought us in. In Christ, we are joint heirs with him. We are brothers and sisters of Christ, sons and daughters of the Almighty God. He translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And we receive a gift. Like a woman, like a bride who was ready to get married, in the Jewish custom, the bridegroom gives the gifts to the bride. God has given us the gift of salvation. And we received it. And we consummated it when we took the body and bread of Christ in the Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. But you don't have to go through that, my brothers and sisters. You don't have to go through the great tribulation and suffer the consequences of a disobedient heart. Some people say, oh, I'll wait till then. I'll wait for the last minute. You never know. You never know. You're going to take a chance of eternity at the last minute. If you say no now, when it's easier than then, who's to say that then you're going to cry unto the Lord? Some people's heart will get hardened. Some people will be revealed for who they truly are. Some people have demons within themselves. And when it comes to the time of acknowledging Christ, the demons manifest themselves, and you cannot, you as a person that loves God, will not be able to speak a word for salvation. It'll be too late. You'll be left behind. Jesus gave us a parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the word of God tells us they all were dressed and they all fell asleep. But at midnight, when the bridegroom was coming, there was a cry made that the bridegroom was coming. They got up, and the 5 foolish virgins told the 5 wise virgins, give us some of your oil. And the 5 wise virgins said, not so. Otherwise, there won't be enough for us, but go and buy. And the 5 foolish virgins went to buy oil at midnight, who's going to be out there selling oil at that time? So they foolish. And when they came back, it was too late. The five wise virgins went into the room with the bridegroom, and they went to the father's house. And those five foolish virgins were left behind. You have an opportunity right now to ask God to forgive you of your sins, to ask him to come into your heart and save you so you could be part of the five wise virgins, so you could be part of the rapture. Look, God is love, but he's also a consuming fire. And knowing the terror of God, we persuade man to come out to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Before it's too late, my brothers and sisters. Let's look at Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 24. And there is one verse that I'm going to start off with. And it's verse 29. And it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So when is this occurrence is going to take place? It says immediately after the tribulation of those days. So we see the 7-year tribulation that's occurred. Suddenly something else happens. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heaven shall be shaken. And then, remember, immediately following the tribulation, and then, so we're going to see the difference between the rapture and the 7 years of tribulation. We see what the tribulation, we're going to read another passage to help us understand what the tribulation is all about. And then after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars from heaven will be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, power and great glory. Hallelujah. So here we have a situation where everyone will see Jesus Christ coming. Now you must say, but that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. And these days, most people have a cell phone and there'll be a live coverage, live streaming. You know, you could see Fox News, CNN News, ABC, NBC, CBS, all streaming the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And the people who are left behind will mourn. Yeah, we saw that in 1 Thessalonians, they were taken to the, where? To the clouds. Here, Jesus is coming back or returning in the clouds. So this is the return. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to show you there's a difference between the rapture, which is the dead in Christ, and those of us that remain shall be caught up together. Paul says in Corinthians, in a twinkle of an eye, this mortal must put on immortality, this carnal must put on incarnality. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, don't get mistaken with the word elect. because the church is also called the elect. But here in Matthew 24, the elect that they're talking about is the Jewish people who accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior during the tribulation time. So he gathers them. If you read on further in the other books of the gospel, in the Old Testament, you're going to read that Jesus Christ will rescue those that have ran from the house. Remember, we read earlier, he said those on the top of the houses to go to the mountains, right? Well, those are the Jewish people that are going to be saved during the tribulation time. And he's going to go to the mountains of Petra, because the Antichrist, the son of perdition, would not dare go to Petra and harm them. They are the elect of God. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to go on to the book of Zechariah. And we're going to read one verse, and then we're going to go into the tribulation time. In verse 4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." See the difference? That day is after the tribulation period. But in the rapture, what we read in Thessalonians chapter 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, it talks about the dead in Christ and we that remain shall be caught up upon the rapture up to the clouds. Up to the clouds, my brothers and sisters. Here, Jesus Christ returns and he stands on Mount Olivet. And that's a fulfillment of Acts chapter 1. Don't you remember the angels talking to the brothers there? He said, "You men of Galilee, why are you staring into heaven? This same Jesus whom you see go before you shall likewise come back." And Jesus Christ will come back to Mount Olives. That mountain will split in half. The waters will come through and heal the Dead Sea. That's the tribulation time. That's what's going to happen during the time of the tribulation and how Jesus Christ rescues the people. Let us read. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us read Zechariah chapter 12 and let us go on. It says, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, set the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in a siege both against Judea and against Jerusalem." So that's my brothers and sisters. A lot of people, you know, they say, "Oh, the final battles are Armageddon." No, that's where they're going to gather themselves. But the final battle is in Jerusalem and Judea. They're going to take it to the city. They're going to gather in Megiddo, all the nations of the world, Armageddon, and then they're going to come to Jerusalem to fight. And God said he will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. All the nations around Jerusalem, about Israel now, are looking to destroy Jerusalem. Because if they destroy Jerusalem like Titus did in 70 AD at the temple and they kill off the Jewish people, then there won't be no more remembrance of them. But God loves Israel. They are his apple of his eye. God will never abandon Israel. And we back Israel all the way, 100%. With all the strength that God gives them to us, we back them up, 100%. The true Christians, we're not going to allow a second Holocaust. At that time, people kept quiet. They didn't act when Hitler used the armies of Germany to annihilate the Jewish people. Of over 6 million of them died because nobody said a word. But we're not going to let that happen. Glory be to the Lord. Because the Word of God tells us in Revelations, when Jesus comes back, the armies of heaven will be with him. We are the army of heaven. The angels of heaven will be with him when he comes to Mount Olives. But nobody's going to draw blood with the sword, because he's going to eliminate all the enemies with the word of his mouth, with the breath of his mouth. Glory be to the Lord. Verse number 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I would open my eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governor of Judea shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord hosts their God. And that day will I make the governors of Judea like a heart of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. And that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them, at the day shall be of David, shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the house of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for me. That takes us back to Matthew 24, that all the people will mourn because they see the marks of the cross upon Jesus. And they shall mourn for him as one mourning for his only son, and shall be a bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. And that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadamshit in the valley of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and the wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and the wives apart. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit shall pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when they shall fall yet prophesy, that his father, his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father, his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And it come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall the weary a rough garment to deceive. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am a husbandman, for my taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Those were marks of the marks of the cross, my brothers and sisters. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Well, that's what happens when they arrested Jesus. They scattered, the disciples scattered. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. The third part shall be left therein. So Zechariah is coinciding with Amos. Two-thirds of Israel will be killed. There'll be a great, great destruction that day. But God will save one-third. They're going to be saved because they're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we have too many brothers and sisters in the Jewish perspective that neglect to read the Bible, and they fail to understand and receive that Yeshua HaMashiach, born from the tribe of David, born in Bethlehem from a virgin, as the prophet has said, is the true Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. But they reject God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined. Try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. And that's what happened to the Jewish people. They're going to realize they've been deceived all this time by their rabbis. They're going to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and he will heal them. He will rescue them. I will say it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and their spoil shall be divided in the midst of them. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the horses rifle, and the women ravish, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Zechariah said that. His feet will stand on that day on the Mount of Olives. The day of his return, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the rapture have taken place already, but he comes back to rescue Israel, the one-third. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall teach unto Azar. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. All the saints with him. We are the saints of God. He calls us saints. We are the army of the Lord. We're going to come back with Jesus to rescue. The bride is going to come back with Jesus. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to pass, but at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to stop reading Zechariah at that verse. There is more of that chapter to go on, but we're going to stop there, and I recommend that you finish that chapter of Zechariah, chapter 14. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we know that the rapture is before the seven-year tribulation. We saw that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up apartado, raptured up, the gathering of the saints, the great assembly. We're going to be gathered up to the clouds, and he's going to take us to his Father's house. Glory be to the Lord. But what we just read was from Matthew 24, verse 39. It says, immediately following the tribulation of those days. So we know the seven-year tribulation is going to take place after the rapture, and then the return of Jesus Christ to rescue Israel. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next week, we're going to cover another chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let me see what else. Chapter 5, verse 9, we read that today. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 and 16. We read that today. And we're going to read Revelation 4, 1. And then next week is going to be 1:84. And it's going to be Jesus is coming to resurrect the righteous dead. Glory be to Lord. And then after that, we got two more in the rapture. And then we're going to start the second coming of Christ, which it also has six parts to it. And what I want you to do is look at the scriptures that we spoke about, my brothers and sisters, and understand. Listen, you might not know it all. There's no one on this earth that knows it all. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit to bless us with the Rhema word so we could understand bits and pieces of what the Lord has given unto us. Hallelujah. Without the Holy Spirit given to us, we are going to be left with no understanding. But the Bible tells us, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, study yourself, approve unto God, a workman, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. We're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, part 183. The rapture is before the seven-year tribulation. That's what we're talking about today. The rapture is before the seven-year tribulation. The church is not appointed to the wrath of God. When you read 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, it tells you there very clearly, very succinctly, it says that we were not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ himself in Revelation 3:10. He says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. The word from, ek, is a definite article which tells you you're not going to go. He's not taking you through it. He's keeping you out of it. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today could be your last day. The Bible says, "Is it is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. In the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocations by your forefathers, where they tempted me 10 times. Vengeance is mine, God says. I will repay." So we're not trying to scare you into coming unto the Lord. What you want to be a partaker of that beautiful gift that God has for you. You don't have to do anything but believe and accept. Repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. The word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For the gift of God, we're saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. That's what God has given up to us. And that's why we should always seek God and ask God for directions. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Have you received the gift of God? Or have you neglected? Have you cast it to the side? Have you said, it's not the time, I'm not ready? Nobody's ready. But the time is right now. Because tomorrow, the Bible says, is not promised to nobody. The rapture could take place before the end of this program. The rapture could take place tonight, could take place tomorrow, could take place 1,000 years from now. But the thing is, when you leave this body, where will you be in eternity, heaven or hell? Think about it. Look in the mirror for 1 second and ask yourself the question, have you taken anything that doesn't belong to you? It doesn't matter the value of the thing that you took. Is that you took it, and that's called a thief. Have you always been obedient for your parents? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on this earth. Have you always loved God, or have you been an idolater, worshiping other gods? You know, like some people make God with their hands, statues, but some people make God in their mind. You know, you tell them that the wages of sin is death. Well, some people say, God, my God doesn't send nobody to hell. Well, you just made a God in your mind. And you're not talking about the God of heaven, because there's no way that you're going to get away with your sins. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There's consequences for your sins, my brothers and sisters. And you read it in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin. So you are working right now for wages. Without Christ, you know, your sinful nature will cause you to miss heaven. So when you look at all these things that you have done, and you are sincere, and you ask the question, will a holy God allow me to enter into heaven being a sinful person? The answer is no. You will not enter into heaven, because in the word of God tells you thieves, idolaters, disobedient will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you broke the law in one, you have broken the law in all. Maybe you was like the rich man in the Bible. Maybe you kept all the commandments, but you lack one thing. You lack in to allow him to be number one in your life. Something else is replacing him, and you are allowing that thing to take the place of God. Jesus Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He left his home in heaven, took on a human body, and he resided here on this earth to show you and me how to be obedient to God, even to the death of the cross. Because there's a reward to get. Paul wrote about a race. Everybody runs the race, but there's only one winner. Run that you can win and obtain the crown. The crown is eternal life, my brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus. Don't let this opportunity pass by. Don't close your eyes tonight in the same stage that you found yourself yesterday. Make it your business that when you close your eyes tonight, you know in your heart, like Paul said, absent from this body is present with the Lord. If you leave your body tonight, would you be in heaven or hell? It's your choice. God doesn't send anybody to hell. All he does is accommodate our wishes. God wants, the Bible says that God's patience is because he wants us all to repent and to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let nothing deceive you, my brothers and sisters. Don't let a friend, don't let a relative deceive you. Make this a personal relationship that you have with the Lord. It's not about religion, although the Bible talks about pure religion. Is feeding the hungry, feeding the widows, taking care of them. But we're talking about your relationship with God. It's not religion. God is looking for a relationship between you and him. He gave his son that you may be free. In 1 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin that you may become the righteousness of God in him. God is love, and he don't want you to perish. And the moment that you receive God's forgiveness, God's love enters in, and you see the world in a different light. The songs of the birds is different. The sunshine is different. The stars glittering in the sky is different. The movement of the trees when the wind hits it is amazing. Why God allows that? Do you know why the trees move when the wind passes by? But that helps the circulation of the water within the tree. And the trees waving their branches is like us waving our hands, praising God and worshiping him. The Bible says that heaven and earth speak of God's handiwork. God loves you very much, and he don't want you to perish, my brothers and sisters. Don't let this day go by. Don't take a chance today. Be sure, be certain that if you was to leave your body today, you would be in heaven with the Lord. And you don't have to go through the tribulation like we read so many times. In Zechariah, he says, in that day, he repeats that over and over and over again, in that day. Why? Because those people who are left behind will remember that day. They don't, like right now, Christ died for us. During the tribulation time, people will have to give their life. The Antichrist will behead them. In order for them to make heaven, they would be beheaded. But remember what Zechariah says, in that day, my goodness, could you survive in that day? I doubt it very much. 99.99% of the people who are left behind will take the mark of the beast. There'll be very few who don't take the mark of the beast and will hold on for the coming of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to leave you for tonight, praying and believing that all will hear the voice of the Lord. Let me say a word of prayer before we close out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've done what you asked me to do, and that is to give your word. I pray that someone out there, Father God, heard your message and that they repent from their sins and have faith towards Jesus Christ. And that tonight, as they go to sleep, that they're confident that if they leave their body, they'll be in prison with you, Lord God. Lord, Father God, protect us and watch us, Lord. Help us to continue to do the right thing, to live holy, Father God. And we thank you for the rapture. We thank you that the dead in Christ will rise first. And we thank you for those of us who remain shall be changed. In a twinkling of an eye shall be caught up in the air to be with you always, Lord Jesus. We don't want to be left behind, Lord God. And we pray for those who are left behind. We pray for those who will be beheaded for the cause of Christ during the tribulation time. Lord God, I pray that all my brothers and sisters of different churches put away their denominational differences. Put away the traditions, Father God, and let them come unto you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, Father God, guide us and direct us. Help us, Father God, to learn the truth and put the truth into practice in our life and not allowing the enemy, Father God, to deceive us. Because your word says it in Luke chapter 21, let no man deceive you. So, Father God, we praise you, we glorify you, Lord God, and we ask that we be so sensitive to the move of your Holy Spirit, Father God, so we could go on and do what you ask us to do. Father God, be with us until the next time if the rapture doesn't take place. Help us to study your word. Father God, but prepare us for the rapture like a bride prepares herself for the groom and for her wedding. We want to thank you, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord watch over you. May he allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And until the next time, when we come back on Tuesday, don't forget, Tuesday's intercessory prayer at 7 o'clock. And Sunday at 7 o'clock, we have Bible mystery. Hallelujah. And we're studying the names and the titles of God. This Sunday, we're going to look at the name Yahweh. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.